Council, we're ready to begin our hearing, and requested the Honorable Mr. David Neal to conduct this pardon hearing, so at this time, it's all in your hands, sir.
That's scary.
We will invite you up here.
Pardon me. Puts me in charge, that's a scary thing.
He's the conductor.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Could you state your name for the record, please?
Angela Shenanigan.
So welcome to the Airborne Board of Executive Committee. We apologize that you had to wait so long, but...
It's okay.
We don't make up our own schedule.
I see that.
The ladies out in the office put names on a list, and they send them to DOC, and they're going to come up with a schedule, and we'll pretty well stuck with that.
They're going to do that every day?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and unfortunately, any type of hearing board, where the person is here in person, they tend to get put at the end of the day instead of upfront. We tried to sneak them in, but today was not one of those days.
That's okay, thank you, I appreciate being here.
Okay.
I had doctor performance this morning, so...
Well, we're counting.
And I've been waiting since September for this, so I did not want to miss it.
Okay, so you're appearing before the board today in reference to a pardon request. Normally we say state your name and your ABC number, but you didn't have it.
I did go to the tents. I didn't go to prison.
Okay, so it looks like, well, you're 34 years old now?
Yes, I remember that, it was May 31st.
And you were convicted in, the actual conviction was in July of 2011, but the offense occurred in 2009, correct?
Yes, sir, October 2009.
And it looks like you took a plea agreement, and it looks like one of your aggravated DUI charges was pled to an endangerment?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You served 4 months in jail and 18 months on supervised probation, and looks like since the offense, you decided to kind of take your life by the tail and straighten it out. And you've gotten, since then you've gotten a master's degree.
Yes, sir.
In education.
Yes, sir. I have one more semester to get my second.
Oh.
In elementary education.
Very good, very good.
Thank you.
And I understand that you've got all your rights restored.
Yes, sir.
And you've even gotten a level one fingerprint card?
Yes, sir.
That's quite an accomplishment with felonies on your record.
Yes, it is. It's true.
I'm sure that you could probably sell an information pamphlet to a lot of people that are trying to get their level one fingerprint cards.
Yeah.
That's one of the big things. So what we, you know, we're going to have more information here, but you know, basically what we're going to want to do is, since we never met you, have you tell us a little bit about you and why you're looking for the pardon. But I want to make sure you do understand the process. When somebody applies for a pardon that comes in front of the board, we have the hearing, we make a decision whether or not to move it forward to or recommend it to the governor's office. The governor is the only one in the state that has the ability to grant a pardon. We just kind of like a shortstop, so to speak.
Right.
You know, it comes here first and we decide whether it goes forward. Also, we find, and you were very specific in your application about how the pardon would have the offense is removed from your record. That is not true.
Right.
A lot of people, by the time they get here, they still don't understand that part of the process. The only way to get it off your record is to get an expungement, and I believe the Superior Court's the only one that can do something like that. And then it's not, it doesn't show up. But if a pardon were granted, it would still show up on your record as having the conviction and everything, but the convictions were pardoned by the governor. Some places will accept that, some won't.
Right.
Okay. But the other thing is that was recommended to the governor's office in something like this. But I don't want to diminish it, like, we don't know you, and you don't get a packet of information, read it, but that doesn't already give us all the information. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what was going on when this happened? And then your life since then, what your accomplishments are and everything.
Well, I don't want to make any excuses. I kind of grew up sheltered at the time. I was young, and I was just basically going out and partying every weekend, and drinking and driving all the time, just because I thought it was fun. Shortly after my mom passed away, and then, so just kind of a lot of things were happening all at once, but it's not to say that I didn't know better. I knew better when I did it. I just knew a lot of people that did it, and no one ever got caught, to be honest. So I just thought I would be one of those people. And I'd never been in trouble before. I grew up set very high standards for myself. So in a way, I just kind of thought I was better than other people around me. And so I think that was my downfall, is that I was very judgmental of others and didn't really look at myself and my shortcomings. And so this was, I always say it had to happen. I think it had to happen because I had to go to jail. I had to send my daughter to California to live with my dad for a few months, which was very hard. It was actually, I was in jail for 4 months and I had to send her for 3 of those months. The hardest month was the last month because then she was here. When she was in California, she just kind of thought she was with her grandpa. And then when she came back, I was on work release, so I was going to work every day and coming back, and I would pick her up and take her to Head Start and then take her to somewhere to eat every day. And so that was the hardest, as having to take her back every day, and she was crying and she didn't understand why. So that was hard for me, but it made me realize that I was blaming everybody else, and I was making everybody else at fault for my decisions, and I had to finally face the fact that it was my fault that I was in that situation. And then the last week, I was a teacher. I taught medical assistants and billers and coders. And when you're in work release, you have to pay rent there. So I moved out of my apartment before I went to jail. And so the last week that I was in jail, I took that week off of work so I could move into my new place and get everything ready for my daughter. And when I was at home that week, I got a text message from a coworker, and she's like, "Can you check your email?" And I'm like, "You know, no, I'm not at work. I'm not even trying to think about that place." And there was a email from somebody. I still don't know who it was. I tried to press charges, and they couldn't really trace the IP address. But there was an email from someone, and I think it was a student, could have been a coworker, but it was sent to all of my colleagues, and no one knew that I was in jail at this time, except for my supervisor, because they had to sign the paperwork every week. But none of my coworkers, none of the students that I was teaching, nobody else knew what was happening. And there was an email sent out with my mugshot to all of my coworkers, and they were saying, "We don't think it's fair that the student should have to pass criteria that your own employees can't pass." And so then all of my coworkers knew that I had been in jail. So it was just a lot that I went through. But I am grateful for the experience, because I don't know where I would be without it. I know that I could have killed myself, somebody else. And so it was hard, but it made me a better person, it made me a better mother. And so since then, I already knew, I told myself at that time, there's going to be a lot of opportunities that you're going to miss out on, and you're just going to have to deal with it. And I was just so happy to be out of jail that I was, at that time, I just was so happy, just grateful for every day and every experience. But I braced myself for the fact that I was going to miss out on a lot of opportunities, which I have, several, a lot of teaching opportunities. Just an opportunity to have a better life for me and my children. At one point, I was working at a telemarketing place making $12 an hour, and I had my bachelor's degree at the time. But it was all that I had. It was the only opportunity that I had. So even though it was terrible, and, you know, at first, I just spent a lot of time thinking, you know, why is this happening to me? But it made me a better person, it made me stronger, and I'm grateful for the experience. I'm grateful for the opportunity to come out of the experience, I should say. I wish that it never happened, but if it had to happen to make me who I am now, then I'm grateful. And so I just have been just overachieving ever since, because I feel like it's the only way I can have just an equal advantage to people that, you know, all of my managers, I'm in the medical field now and I do medical billing. Every manager, every supervisor that I've ever had, I've been more educated than all of them, and they all make more money than me, have a better schedule than me. They all are doing better than me as far as success because of the mistake that I made. So, sorry, I want to get this done for myself as an achievement for myself and for my daughter. I have a son too. He's little now, but my daughter kind of went through this with me. I kind of, her and I kind of grew up together because of the decisions that I made. So, it's more of a personal accomplishment for myself right now. I'm a billing supervisor, and I've been in the medical field my whole life, and it makes good money. I'm making okay living, but I don't want to be in the medical field anymore. I like to teach. I want to teach in an elementary school, which is why I went and got my fingerprint clearance card. I'd like to be able to work at the same school, my children have the same schedule, be able to have the same time off with them, and it's just almost impossible. I can't get anyone to hire me. There is my daughter goes to a Great Heart School. She goes to Telios now, but she got accepted into Veritas, which is a better Great Heart School than the one that she's at. And I have an opportunity to be an instructional aide there. And the headmaster said that if I get the part in that, that would be a big way that she could, so she knows me personally, and the daughter's in sports there, so we see the opposing schools all the time. She's a really good basketball player. And so this is an opportunity that I have to be one step closer to my goals. Our family's in church, and my daughter is a really good basketball player, so I kind of live vicariously through her. I'm very competitive, so that's our life. We're grateful. I'm grateful. My daughter's kind of spoiled, but I'm extremely grateful for everything that I have, how far I've come, but I definitely would like this, an opportunity to have this as an accomplishment, to kind of say in my mind, it's like I'm forgiving myself for my actions.
I don't know all the rules as far as, you know, access to elementary school and stuff like that. I know there are certain things that are on your record. You can't even come on the school grounds. But you may get a rubber and fingerprint card, which is, you know, it's required to work in the schools and a lot of other fields. Mm-hmm. So I guess what is the conviction, something that is a bit fast rule that you can't go work there, or is it pretty much depending on the school district?
It's depending on the school district.
Okay, so.
Some districts you don't even have to have a teaching certificate. It'll be dependent on if it's public, if it's private, their guidelines. And right. So the Great Heart schools are charter schools, so they have a little bit more leeway.
Okay, so yeah, so it's not that there's a set rule in the state that says we're going to school because we got this felony conviction. It's up to the school districts and stuff like that.
Each district, I mean, every district in the state, public school, now let's separate the private schools and charter schools. But every public school, you have to have a certificate. And one can have a certificate, I just happen to know this education is something that I have an interest in. You can have a certificate in Arizona, and you can teach in Arizona if you have had a felony. The only thing you cannot, I probably missed one, but two where you cannot, if you had crime involving sex offenses. You cannot get a certificate in the state of Arizona. If you've had a homicide, you cannot get a certificate in Arizona. I don't want to go on record, but if I had to go on record, let's put it this way, over 50% of our teachers have had some offense with the law enforcement, and they are able to keep their certificates unless the other one is as it relates to now each private school. They come up with their own regulations. Rayhart, that's a great school, and you know there are some others like Basis that you could you have the standards are much higher, but they make their own rules. They do not have to live on this. They don't even have to have a teaching certificate to work in some of those schools.
Yeah.
It's not up to the administration. One can, one can work and get a certificate without a pardon from the governor. That was one of the questions that I wanted to get. The governor, I spoke with someone who does this professionally and been doing this for about 5 years, and he's only had one where a pardon came from the governor. Everybody else, nobody else comes from him, gets a pardon. They supply, and the other thing, you never lie. You always say, yes, I've had this crime, put it on there, and you will get a teaching certificate in the state of Arizona.
I did the crime and I did the time.
I learned that a long time ago because it only hurts me to lie about it, even if you, I mean, I've never personally lied about it, gotten away with it, you know, job, but I know people that have, and you start yourself somewhere, get established, and have to start all over again, so it literally makes no sense.
Right.
And I mentally prepared myself for that much since day one, like, you're here now, this is the consequences of your actions. And you'll be lucky sometimes, you won't sometimes. And it's been like that a lot.
I've never encountered a company that wouldn't fire you on the spot if you found out you lied about something like that on your application. Yeah. You know,
I don't even know. I wouldn't do it. I have too much to lose.
Too much integrity. So the real purpose of, I mean, besides personal satisfaction that you're able to get the charges pardoned, but other than that, it's a matter of trying to better your station in the workforce. I mean, you know, get a better job, different job, but right now primarily so that you get more into education.
Yes, sir, because I have no educational experience. It's all medical. I've taught before, but I've taught adults in the medical field. So it's like I need, in addition to having my record, I would like something else to kind of give me that leg up. I have no experience. I have my degree, but I don't have any experience. And I've been afraid to kind of take advantage of like externships where they don't pay and kind of live off of my loans. I've been afraid to do that because I don't know if it's going to work out in my favor, and I have two children. So I've kind of been relying on what I know. I've been in the medical field my whole life.
I know that it doesn't meet the ends that you would like as far as being able to teach where you're not going to school and those kind of things, but have you ever tried it at any of like GCU or Midwestern or, you know, they're private schools, they're not state-run schools. They're both faith-based, and they look at things a whole lot different than like ASU or someplace like that. And since they're not dealing with children, they're really there with, I mean, you know, I'm sure there's some 16 and 17-year-olds going to university early, but they're not little kids.
Right. I tried those in particular. I tried others, but no, not those. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I mean, I got this bit of children playing with the ultimate dealings with both those universities, and they're both really, really good places, and the way they operate is a whole lot different than it is at any of the regular public schools or anything else like that.
Both of my best friends work there at GCU.
Oh, well, see, yeah.
They're enrolling counselors.
Okay. Like she might be able to
point
you in the right direction.
Yeah.
Other than to say that you know, we Mr. Canona says it to Bethy, that we set a, set the bar really high, and it's like, a lot of people do great things in the world, but we set a bar that's a little bit higher, it's like getting Medal of Honor versus, getting a promotion or something like that. Let me see if any of my fellow board members have any questions for you.
No, I have some, but we'll tell this first after the last.
Oh, when I turn this way, I have to look at you. Mr. Johnson.
I was just trying to understand, do you have a certified fingerprint card, class one fingerprint card, correct?
Yes, sir. I have it in my purse if you want to see it.
No. So you have the fingerprint card, so what's, and it's not stopping you from getting a teaching certificate?
No, it's not.
So what is the purpose of wanting the pardon other than, I mean, I was trying to just go back through here and look at some of it. What is the purpose of the pardon? Because I'm really thinking that even if you have a pardon, it's not going to change the anything.
Well, I will say, when you talked about the expungement, I was under the impression that Arizona doesn't do expungements. I didn't know that was even an option in the state of Arizona. So in my mind, I was thinking this would be its equivalent. So there's that. But also, yeah, I just, without my experience and with my record, in my mind, it's going to give me that advantage so that I can go into that field confidently, more confident than I am now.
But you do have some experience because you were teaching in the community college system.
True.
That you had like a couple of years that you were at Estrella Mountain.
Yeah, Estrella Mountain, but it's the vocational center on the campus, which is no longer there, but it was at the time.
Okay, so but you do have some teaching experience, though, that you have that's listed in there. Just not for sure what the pardon would actually do. You could get some other things, but the pardon has to just really reach a high standard, and that's what's the concern, is if that standard would be reached, and if the pardon would really, it would give you some self-gratification for sure.
Yeah.
You know, about whether that would give you, what you need, especially I think with the shortage of teachers that they're talking about that are teaching school. I know you want to teach at Telios. So did you talk to them about teaching? What did they tell you?
Well, the headmaster at Telios is leaving.
Okay.
But she said that she could talk to the headmaster at Veritas for me before she goes. She said that this would be a step in the right direction, and she would feel more comfortable sticking her neck out for me if I take this extra step.
Yeah, because Telios and Veritas is really good. Good. I almost think that if you had the opportunity to really sit down with them on that program, that they probably would look at that. So, but you've accomplished some great things. You know, even through it, you're not putting fault on anyone else. You're not saying it's anybody else's fault. You're taking total responsibility for what your actions were, and you've done some great things. I did have one other question. Is that why was your license suspended or revoked?
My driving record had a lot of speeding tickets.
Okay. So it wasn't for a previous DUI?
No, sir. This is the first time in my life I've ever been in trouble. First and last. My driving record was terrible when I was younger. I got a speeding ticket every few months, seems like. And then it was suspended, and then I was driving while it was suspended, and I got suspended for even longer.
Okay.
I changed that, but it was bad. It's another thing that I came to the conclusion that all of this goes back to those habits, those decisions that I made that at the time I thought were minor, just pay the fine, but it's like a snowball effect of all of that.
Thank you.
Mr. Yes, I just wanted to follow up on a couple of issues. One, because I don't understand this, and I think this is terrible, by the way, the Estrella Mountain story with the Marshall. I don't understand. I worked for Louis Lotto part-time before I was appointed. I had a federal career, and then I had that in between time, and then I got this appointment. I don't understand the students should not have to pass background checks that your instructors are not required to pass. What are you talking about? I'm sorry, I was a student coach for people with felony convictions like every day, so what did they mean?
Well, they had to go through, I'm not exactly sure of the details, but they did have to have certain clearances. There were certain things they had to do to enroll in the school. I'm not exactly sure what that was, but we would deny some students for certain, if they have, I think, like warrants or something of that nature. They had to go through some type of check. I don't know how extensive the background check was, but they had to do something. Because we set them out on externship, so they have to be hireable at that time. So we set them up so that they would be able to pass a, go through an employment check. So it's kind of the same thing.
I still find this totally unacceptable, what happened to you. So I have a lot of empathy.
Because I was done already, so I think it was even worse because I had made it through. So I'm thinking that it's over and then have to go back to work and then have to explain this to all my colleagues who have no idea. So it hurts, but...
So yeah, I just, that was classless. This is not to say that there aren't requirements or that, that their jobs are more accepting of criminal history or with the fingerprint issues. I understand that there's accountability, but still I find that tasteless. But the other question I had was similar to Mr. Johnson's, and that is that with you having achieved your fingerprint card, this is not to say you could not get hired as a teacher, correct?
Correct.
Okay. My colleague made reference to this, and I think we all have our own opinions about it. I'm just saying this from a learning thing, sitting on the board, that it's certainly not us that has, set the standard.
Right.
When I use the metal comparison, I use that often because my point is that I think you're a fabulous success.
Thank you.
And if it was about honors, you would be worthy of one. The problem is that with projects, they set the standard extremely high. It's like, I always make the comparison, it's like getting a Medal of Honor. In other words, it has to, in that case, it has to go to Congress before they say, yes, they're getting that medal. And then there's up to a certain point where at the lower levels, people can bless it without Congress. And this has the feel of like a Medal of Honor. So this is not to say that, I don't know how this board's going to vote today. I just want you to understand that. And the second thing was the expungement issue.
Yeah.
And that is that even with a pardon, it's still in your record. There's just no mechanism for that in Arizona. So
right.
I'm not trying to be bag of downers, so to speak. I just don't want to take away from what you've accomplished, and it sounds like that you still have a bright future and plenty of options. Just in context. So,
thank you.
But I do think you've done fabulous. And
thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Neal.
The only thing I would ask is, what do you do to give back to the community? What do you do?
A lot. Well, I shouldn't say that. But as far as my family members in my church, I speak to the kids in my church all the time, and I think in general, me as a person, for everyone that's around me, it's changed who I am. And the fact that I used to think of myself as being so much better than others. So even when I'm hearing these stories today, I feel sad for these men because I'm like, we're all one step away from being in somebody else's shoes. And so I'm very appreciative of that every day. I work with a lot of people that are younger than me and older than me, and I try to get them to see that it's all how you look at things. It's your attitude about it. You're going to have obstacles. We all have obstacles, but it's your attitude about how you can face life. And so I try to have that example with my youth, with my family, with the people in my church, with any and everybody that I come across. I still have a lot of friends from jail, which is ironic to say, but when we were in the tent, it was a lot of people that just did the same thing as me. A lot of working class citizens that made a very big mistake. And so even then now, if I can, there's some that you can't help, because, you know, if they're not ready to change, they're not ready to change. But any that I can, I will. There's a good friend of mine. I mean, she's not a good friend of mine, but I know her from jail, and she works at the Dollar General by my house, and I'm always, you know, making sure she's okay. I'll occasionally bring her lunch. She's had a hard time, and she just seems to be struggling. That was almost 10 years ago, and she still seems to be struggling just the same. And I just want her to, I try to encourage her to have a positive attitude about things. You're working at Dollar General, but you could be unemployed. You have one bedroom, but you could be homeless. You know, we have so many things that we take for granted, like our life. And so I try to show that in everything that I do, especially because I'm extremely grateful for where I am. So just, I try to be a better example.
Thank you, Mr. Mann.
Thank you.
My uncle always used to say that no matter how bad it gets, it ought to be worse.
Always.
So you have a wonderful attitude.
Thank you.
Dr. Ray.
Ms. Mayor, so what happened with your job at Estrella Mountain after they put that on social media?
Nothing. I wasn't fired because my supervisor knew about it already. Okay. But my job was it's a faculty position. So there was no benefits. There were no guaranteed hours. Shortly thereafter, the management changed. My immediate manager was very, even before all of this happened, she got along great. She was able to give me extra hours. I was a single mom. So once the management changed, she kind of was steadfast to 20 hours a week. No benefit, so I just had to leave because I couldn't afford to be there anymore. It had nothing to do with what happened, but it made it very hard. Shortly thereafter, that round of students graduated, and I never found out who it was. I tried to press charges. They couldn't trace the IP address, so there was nothing they could really do. But, yeah, it was terrible. There was some website that leaves your mugshot up for 6 months, and they posted it in the email.
Yeah, they do that. I just wanted to tell you that I think that, you know, what you have accomplished have been tremendous, that you would be probably an asset to teaching and to kids that have that, you know, experience to it. I had, you know, DWI last year, so restrictive, and you only blew a .08. It wasn't even as I think 0.05. It used to be a 0.10, and that you actually blew. But I would tell you that these DUIs are so tremendous. And when I was on the council, I tried to help one of my friends with DUIs, and I talked to some of the judges, and you know, the laws are so strict and mandatory as to what happens and what you can do. It was like, man, I can't believe that they may start taking a different route.
Yeah,
we start taking a different route. So I do understand, but I do want to commend you that I think you have a great future, you know, ahead of you. I think that the things that you want to accomplish, the only thing that's going to prevent you from accomplishing those things are yourself. And you know, I would just, you know, try to advise you to look at it as a little bump in the road. You know, we all hit those bumps in the roads, and we have to keep rolling and moving afterwards. But I do think it's something that that you can accomplish. I just don't think that for the standard that they have for pardons, it sets that. But without the pardon, even if you were to go get it expunged, I mean, that would do more to help you get to where. But you have your fingerprint card, you know, the things that you need, you already have, in order to be able to do it. But I think that I just wanted to just commend you for doing the things that you are and that you could continue. And I also want to say that you're in the community college system. That's, you know, I got one daughter that teaches in public school, one daughter that's in the community college system, and my daughters, you know, they both, you know, love teaching. I don't know, they didn't get it from me, but they both love teaching. And my one in the community college system says that's the, you know, best system that she can be in. So
I should try to work it out.
Yeah, that's good.
One of my best jobs.
Yeah, it's they say, because most people that's teachers in community colleges, if you notice, they stay there for, you know, forever. I mean, they still some of the ones that was actually part of the administration, if you, you know, went back, they probably still there.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's a good thing. But, you know, I think you're more than, you know, you can accomplish those things that you want to do. And I think it's also admirable that you, you know, want to teach at junior high, or with your daughters. My daughter was high school, now she's in junior high, so she could be with her kids.
Yes, exactly. That's the goal.
Yeah.
Thank you. Just knowing I'm there will make a difference.
Okay, that's your turn.
I just want to say you're already great, you know. I mean, so
thank you.
I know you want you know, go into teaching, but I guess what I don't quite understand, and maybe you have reasons not to. I don't understand, you know, with two master's degrees, why you don't already have your teaching certificate for the state of Arizona. With a teaching certificate, you can teach anywhere in the state of Arizona, and there are some other states that you can teach in as well, that can be transferred to other states if you just go ahead and get your teaching certificate, even if you never use that certificate. Mm-hmm. Get that certificate and apply for it, and my information is that you can definitely get a teaching certificate with your record, so you know you would have that, whether you ever use it or not, and you definitely don't need that certificate to teach at a college or to teach at a vocational school, as you've already stated.
Yeah.
Therefore, you just use what you got, and you can move on up to the top. You're already at the top, you know, and don't look down on it. Just keep building on what you already have, you know, and with that record, you know, I've been taught, as has already been said, at the community college level already, you already have a great record. So just go ahead and use it. But if I were you, I would get a teaching certificate, you know, back in the olden days, like when I was, back in the dark ages, that's one thing that we always say, get your teaching certificate, because you can always find a job somewhere teaching.
Yeah.
Can't find nothing nowhere else. And in the state of Arizona, there are plenty of jobs there in teaching.
Yeah.
You know, and what the legislature did this year may not be what everybody wants, but the average salary in there is going up, what, to $50,000? So that's not bad.
Yeah.
And 3 months in the summer on vacation and
yeah,
all of those good things, you know, I mean, that's...
That's
I mean, teachers, they know that minute. They be doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
So
I take a pay cut to be able to be with my kids in the summer.
Right.
Yeah.
It'll
so,
be worth it.
So you could, you know, make $40,000 to $50,000 and spend the summer with your with your kids. I just said all that. Go ahead and get your teaching certificate regardless of what we do today. Just go ahead and apply for it.
Okay. Thank you. I guess I've been kind of scared. I don't know why.
But my information is just tell the truth. Yes, you had that, whatever that crime was that you had, you put it on there, and they will not hold it against you.
Another thing to remember about the crimes, if you want to call it that, I spent 10 years as an accident reconstructionist. So you're very, very fortunate that it ended up in an arrest and not a lot worse. And you know, everybody can tell you all the good side, and you tell yourself a lot of the good things that you take out of the bad. But that's one reason they really crack down on DUIs and, you know, people driving the wrong way and all that stuff. So it's going on 10 years now since that happened.
Mm-hmm.
You had a clean record, no arrest, no other crime, no other charges, and you've made a huge success out of your life even after both hurdles. So you are to be commended, and I agree with Dr. Wright. You need to go with that teaching certificate and check some of the other places. It might not be your ideal thing, but sometimes it's not the best thing to have a parent working at a school that the kid goes to.
That's what my daughter says.
She wants to know part of that. Because a lot of kids the other way around, they want you there so they get favors, so they don't have to worry about everything. But you know, you go to some to junior college, a university, something like that, a private school, still be a huge success, and maybe even a bigger success, because you don't have to worry about showing home and listening to your daughter complain because you work at the school.
That's true.
Okay, we're nearing the end of this hearing. We'd like to give you an opportunity, if you'd like, to make a final statement, give us any other information that you think we might be able to use to make our decision, and you don't have to make a statement at this point in time. We've done a lot of talking. That's one of the nice things. The pardon hearings are a lot more informal, so it's a little easier getting to know each other that way. So if you'd like to make a statement?
Just thank you. I appreciate all of your kind words. It means a lot to me. That's it. I'm grateful to be here today. It helped me. It's very educative for me. So to be clear, I can get an expungement in Arizona?
Well, okay. The courts can order records expunged, closed, whatever, but it's a process that is probably worse than coming and getting to this point. But they're, what I'm saying, they're the only people that can do that. You know, the governor can't do that, and we can't do it. The way the record system is in this state, anything you do other than having the records closed or expunged or something like that, it's always going to show up when they run a record check in Arizona. It's the way our system is set up, if you put in there, and the bad thing is if you're listed like in a traffic accident, if you're driving a car and somebody gets hurt, and it goes down to the county attorney for a review, the way they automatically put in there, if your name is in the wrong spot, you're going to be listed as like a homicide suspect for the rest of your life in this state, even though, you know, you're never going to get charged with that or anything like that. But that's one of the problems with our record. The good thing about it is it makes it a lot harder for criminals to cover up their tracks and get away with more crimes. Yeah. It's kind of, you know, a double-edged sword there, you have to watch it. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, maybe I should research that because and see if there's a very specific process to it. But that's like juveniles, you know, the judge has to say, we're going to close your record when you turn 18.
Right.
And then it takes even more higher up judge to open it back up later on if it's so necessary. But it would be interesting to know if there is a specific process or anything. But, you know, the courts in this state can do a lot of things that people don't realize they can do,
right.
But they're not inclined to do it on a regular basis,
right.
Because they don't want people to know they can do this.
Right, not just anybody.
Okay, well, the board will go into discussion now. We'll talk about this, have a discussion. You can have a seat right there or stand at the podium, whichever you prefer. And once we you hear the whole discussion, and once we make the decision, we'll get back with you and finish this up.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The board will have a discussion. Well, it's interesting. It's also rewarding to hear a life story like this, because DUI can become a little ugly, but that kind of a charge, the aggravated DUI on the record, can really put a lot of people down. I personally know a person that it's an endangerment, and one of their guns was in there, but everything was dismissed, everything was dropped. And she still can't get a job in a field that looks at assaulting the hate because it's on the record. And she was arrested. But she's got the same problem. She can't, there's no way she can get it removed without some kind of wild thing. But I think Ms. Merrin is worthy of some praise. She's done quite well. I just imagine how far she could have gone without those charges on there. She wouldn't have any roadblocks, but I think right now some of the roadblocks are, I don't say imaginary, it sounds like they're made up, but I think there are some roadblocks that might not be as big and hard to negotiate as she's been thinking for a while. But very, very smooth with the record and very eloquent in her presentation. I mean, people with master degrees weren't articulate at all, but they were smart. But anyway, based on the high standard of what the governor's office expects for recommendations for pardon, I just don't think this one gets quite there because there's some obstacles that are really there for her. I don't think they're there for her. So what I'd like to hear a discussion from any of my fellow board members is to see.
I'll just say that I agree with you. I think she's, as I stated earlier, done an outstanding job of pursuing her education. She's got a level one fingerprint card. I think in many ways she's much further along than some other cases that I've heard of people that can achieve quite a bit, that had high achievement. I think she's done a marvelous job. Thanks.
Okay, well, I am going to go ahead and make a motion to not recommend, the motion is not recommend to the governor for a pardon in this case, based on all the information we have and everything. Simple motion to not recommend to the governor for a pardon.
Second.
Agree.
Agree.
Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Kamunos, agreed by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Ms. Rittenhouse. Well, Ms. Maron, well, you heard the discussion, you know, you heard the decision. I think the way these discussions go, you were pretty well prepared for that motion to be what it is, but we really, really, really like committee. We don't get a whole lot of pardons, but a big portion of the pardons we get, the people have not gotten anywhere close to as successful as you. And they really had a lot of lesser charges. They're felonies, but they're lesser things. Because people are paying more attention to DUI than they used to,
yes,
as far as the charge. But we just mentioned today that we're very proud of you.
Thank you.
And we do wish you tremendous success with not only your teaching career and that, but with your daughter and your life in general. And I personally think that you're going to go a lot further than you've gotten so far, and you've gotten a long ways.
Thank you. I totally understand what you're saying, so I'm not sad, even though I can't stop crying. I'm not sad, I'm extremely grateful that I was here today, so thank you so much.
Let me just ask this, and let me know. I want to ask, you mentioned your church several times. What church do you attend, may I ask?
I'm sorry, sir?
What church do you attend?
Oh, Pilgrim's Rest, but also St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church on 15th Avenue in Sherman. My daughter's grandma goes to Pilgrim's Rest, and so I try to take her to both.
I'm just curious. Hmm. Not important. I go to Pilgrim's Rest. Just ask.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, and have a wonderful life.
Thank you. You too, guys.
All right.
Thank you for everything.
I see at one of the graduations at GCU as one of the honored instructors.
That'd be great. I was just there for my best friend's graduation.
Well, my son just graduated this year, too.
Yeah, it was May. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good day.